Well, greetings and welcome to your show. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher. I am coming to you live from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts. And Debbie Giorgiani is coming to you live from the show floor at the EWTN. Well, they're having the radio conference this week and also the family celebration on Saturday. Debbie, how are things going there?
It is amazing, Jerry. I was so excited to be here at the 2025 EWTN Catholic Radio Conference and Family Celebration in McLean, Virginia. Gorgeous weather, the wonderful affiliates we get to reconnect with. Oh, and they love Take Two. They love the shows that we've been doing. So it's just been an amazing time spending with everybody who's involved with Catholic media.
Well, I wish I was there, but I am otherwise obligated. But as the show theme, the show open for Take Two says, you know, what everybody's talking about. And we had a topic picked for today. We're going to stick with the topic because it actually, unfortunately, tragically, sadly, is very pertinent based on what everybody's talking about, Debbie. And that, of course, is the Minneapolis tragedy at the Catholic school, the shooting there with the children dead and the other victims, and just a horrific incident that happened yesterday. And our topic today is tell us how, why you love life, what you love about life and living. And this just, Debbie, it weaves into our topic, but we would never ever want to plan for that to happen.
Well, it does, Jerry, because you know, we talk about it all the time on Take Two. We have to live life to the fullest. We never know when God is going to call us home. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can stay prepared today. We can get in a state of grace, stay in a state of grace. So when these tragic situations happen, or accidents happen, or illness, or and then death occurs, we are ready. We are ready to meet the Lord. So loving life is definitely the topic for today. But also, there's so much happening with this Minneapolis situation that it's just so sad, and people want to talk about it. So we're going to ask you to call in. If you have something on your mind or your heart you want to share about life in general, or what has just transpired, please call us. We are here. We are family. It's all about journeying together through good times, through bad times. We can do this when we stick together. And the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you have something to say, now is the show and the time to say it.
Yeah, phone lines are wide open right now. And we know, as believers in God, as children of God, that life is the greatest gift that He has given to each and every single one of us. Unfortunately, some people get to a place, God only knows why, where they don't value life in the same way and to the same degree, and incidents like this happen. But we want to hear from you, the Take Two family, today.
Okay,
just about this whole idea of, you know, being thankful, being grateful for the gift of life, mm-hmm. loving life. Tell us, maybe you've had a brush with death and you would like to tell us, you know, how much you appreciate death in light of that perspective. Or again, if you have any some thoughts on, you know, how we can react to this whole situation. We're going to not take sides. We're not going to get, inflammatory or anything, but we just want to have a very intelligent and civil and charitable conversation about it, because that's how we roll here on Take Two,
that's
your
right.
show. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And of course, we are praying for everyone involved and all of the first responders, all the families, the whole entire city and state that is going through this tragedy right now that's still unfolding. And of course, they're at the top of our prayers. They're in our rosaries. People are going to adoration. They're going to Mass. I mean, the one thing about when a tragedy happens, the Catholic Christian community comes together. They know when to show up and to show up strong as prayer support. And that's what we're trying to do, because there's not much more we can do at this point other than to really pray and support. If there's a financial situation, you know, we could maybe jump in with a few bucks here, you know, if they're taking collections of things of that nature. But other than that, Jerry, wouldn't you say that prayer is most important right now for the healing aspect of this?
Without question. You know, we're one nation under God, and there are a lot of people, of course, who would, you know, refute that, deny that, want to, you know, just toss that away. But we cannot toss that away. Every nation is a nation under God. God is the creator of all things, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. And of course, here on Take Two and EWTN, we do know it and we do like it. And we are a praying community, the whole church. And of course, you know, if you're a listener to this program for any length of time, you know the Take Two family is a praying family. So please, we exhort you, we encourage you, join us today. I know you're already praying, but please let us be in prayer. Let us go to Mass, offer our Mass intentions for this incident and for similar things going on around the world. Let us offer our rosaries, our chaplets of divine mercy. And Debbie, you're always big on a little bit of fasting too, I know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And this is a time to really, you know, just look at ourselves and how are we showing up in life as Christians, right, Jerry? And we say this all the time, but this is a reminder to all of us, you know, we need to get ready and to stay ready. So in order to really appreciate life, life has to be lived. And life should really be lived in the moment, because if we live with regrets or thinking of the past, well, that's not going to serve us. If we worry about the future, well, we don't know what the future holds. Okay, those children that went to the Mass starting their school year, they didn't know that somebody was going to get hurt or kids were going to die that day. They had no idea. They weren't even thinking like that, and families weren't thinking like that. But, you know, honestly, Jerry, not in a morbid way, but in a very healthy way, we should all be ready and be prepared at any moment to meet the Lord, because that really is what the Christian life is all about. And so if you have something to say about this on how you live life to the fullest as a Christian, please call in 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
All right, well, please grab one of those open phone lines. They are open at this time of the show. It's always the best time to call in. And you will speak with Matt Gubinski, our call screener. Michael McCall is producing the show today. Rich Jesse is monitoring social media. Again, Debbie is coming to you from the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Conference in Virginia. I am coming to you from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It is your live opportunity to call in. We are discussing the great gift of life today. Tell us what you love about life, how you really prepare, how you stay in the moment, like Debbie was talking about, and maybe a thought or two, if you have one, about the tragedy that just took place. We're certainly keeping that first and foremost in front of us here. 833-288-3986. Well, thank you so much for making time in your day to join us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, it is your show. Debbie is in Virginia. I am in Weston, Massachusetts. And everyone around this country and around the world, I'm sure, is you know, certainly grieving what happened yesterday in Minneapolis. Our prayers are just, hopefully, we are all just storming heaven with our prayers about that. If you want to weigh in on that situation, do so. It's just the hand of God, His providence, that our topic that we put on the show calendar weeks ago for today was tell us why you love life. And so we want to hear from you about that in the wake of this tragedy. You know, how are you embracing life? How are you, you know, being prepared? I mean, we don't want to think about something like this possibly happening in our lives, but we want to also, like the great saints, you know, Debbie, they kept a human skull, you know, on their desk or near mm-hmm. their bed or something to remind them about.
Memento mori.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to your calls. I just want to tell you quickly about EWTN. Of course, the greatest prayer of all is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and we offer that from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel every morning live at 8 Eastern Time. Don't miss out, okay? We can send you a link to the Mass every day. Just visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe.
We do have one open phone line. We'd love for you to join the conversation, so please consider calling at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we'll get to Teresa. Teresa's first, leading the discussion today from New York on Sirius XM 130. Teresa, welcome to Take Two.
Hi, can you, I'm on the, driving in the car, so I can't turn my phone off. I can't turn you off. I have to do both at the same time.
Okay, just talk nice and loud, Teresa, so everyone can hear you.
Okay. So anyway, as I spoke to the call screener, mm-hmm. I am facing hate in my heart over this situation, over the whole transgender. I happen to be a nurse. I happen to be a psych nurse. And, I mean, I have a heart for these people. I feel bad for them. But they're negating that this person was transgender. And are the drugs that we give these people, are they causing them to do these kinds of things? Because this person isn't the first one to commit a mass murder. Sadly, you know, it was children. And I still can't. I'm sorry, I'm going to try not to cry. I still can't get over what he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Teresa, let me just jump in real quickly. Yeah, one thing I would share is that, you know, we get this question a lot, actually, on the spirit world with Adam Bly, and he has an extensive mental health training and background in this area. And it's so unfortunate because we're afraid to address the situations that are happening in the world with transgenderism and other, you know, personality, identity situations where we're afraid to address it. It's as you know, being in the health field, it's a complex issue. It has a lot to do with the mind. And because of that, it's so difficult to talk about it because people don't want to be labeled. They don't want to say, well, this is a mental disorder or mental illness or something of that nature. But quite honestly, we're in a messed up world. Let's face it. And this tragedy, and these things are going to continue to happen until we get, I believe, this is my humble opinion, till we get it right with God. We have to address where people are at and work with people, not to label them, not to make them feel alienated or isolated, but to really help them see things as best they can with medication, with therapy, with all sorts of support in order for people to get through this crazy thing called life right now. Because right now, in my opinion, it's so off track with the way the world is looking at God and how God set things up. Everybody's trying to do it their own way, and it's kind of a twisted way, if you ask me. And this is the result of it. We have people who can't see life clearly. If you look at his manifesto, this young boy, he was clearly seeing the world as a horrible, you know, vicious, a terrible place to live. I mean, something is clearly wrong, and it was a complex issue. So I don't know necessarily if to categorize a certain, you know, group of people and say I dislike them or dislike this situation. I don't think it's that. I think it's one by one. People need to be treated properly, and I think this world is afraid to address that. What do you say, Jerry? Am I way off base?
No, absolutely not. You know, I will boil this down to something very simple, and that is my philosophy professor here in the seminary. He says, if you learn only one thing about philosophy, let it be this. That is, philosophy is the study, is getting clear on the way things are. Mm-hmm. Reality as it is, as it is supposed to be. And this is not ganging up on LGBTQ, transgender, anything like that. But it's talking objectively and charitably about disorders. There are disorders in the world. We use that word, and some people feel so offended by that. All it means is something is not in right order.
That's right.
You know, and someone who thinks this way is not thinking in a rightly ordered way. We all tend to fall into maybe our own disordered thinking at various times in our lives. So, but yeah, I mean, to your question too, are medications playing a role? You have to believe that they almost certainly are. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these people, and also you've got the culture, and tragically, so many, you know, schools on every level promoting this kind of thing and embracing it. We're going to find ourselves in situations like this as long as these kinds of things are happening. That's my two cents
worth
on that. Teresa, what do you think?
Yeah. But Teresa, we don't want you to have hate in your heart if you're feeling that. I know you're angry. We're all angry. But, you know, to hate is what the demons want us to do. We need to figure out a way to make people whole. And so I think you're more in line with what we're saying. What do you say, Teresa?
I agree. I need to pray. I need to get my rosary out after my hair appointment and just pray for that.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way. But you know what, though? We need to stop, not us, but I mean, people need to stop enabling this kind of disordered thinking. We're enabling it. You know, if somebody says they're a tree, all of a sudden we call them a tree. If somebody says they're doing this or that, that's who they are because that's what they believe. This is just not... not only not acceptable, it's not the way God set it up. We have to work with people and help them to be the best they can be with the mind that they have been given, and hopefully we have the right services in place that can assist them. Unfortunately, we don't. That's the problem. The caseloads of people who are working in this area, they're so tired, they're exhausted. I mean, so people are falling through the cracks, people aren't on medication, they're not being monitored, people aren't being supported, and you get stuff like this, like people on their own thinking that the whole world is against them. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form, at all sympathizing at all. I'm just saying we have a real problem in this world. So Teresa, we're all together in this, that we're going to start praying that the world starts to come to a right ordered place so that we can start living life the way God intended for us to live it. What do you say, Teresa?
Yes, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. You two were very helpful. This was my first call-in. Usually I'm in the car, so I do appreciate you taking my call. And, prayer is the answer. Only God can fix this, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing the absolutely right thing, Teresa, reaching for those rosary beads. And we pray for the young man who perpetrated this, because he is deserving of our prayers, our love, and our compassion as well, because he was obviously misled. So we do not exclude him from our prayers and our love and our thoughts in this particular moment either. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to move along here. We've got Joan in Los Angeles listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Joan. Welcome to Take Two.
Yes, good morning. So I called to ask for prayer for my niece's daughter who fell in the pool. She's 2 years old on Saturday, and she died Sunday morning. Mm. The family's absolutely devastated because of this tragic loss. And curiously, I searched for a prayer for them. It's called Prayer for Grieving Parents, and it kind of coincides with this for the people who have lost their children in this terrible event. It's a beautiful prayer, and I sent it to you because I can't read it myself because I'm blind, but I wanted to put it out there because it's very comforting. And the other thing I wanted to say was Jesus says somewhere in private revelation, don't ever be sad when someone dies because that was their story. They were here for a season. It was planned by God the day they're born, the day they die. How they die is a different story, but that they died, and that these children are probably with Jesus in heaven.
Well, we pray that that is the case. And as it says, I believe in the funeral liturgy of the Catholic Church, you know, when death happens, life is not ended. It is just changed. Mm-hmm. And so you're right, Joan. For those who believe and those who are in a state of grace and are in the friendship of God, yeah, we mourn, we grieve, but at the same time, we should have joy in our hearts, Debbie, and really celebrate those lives, because it is that person's story. It has come to an end, and now we hope and pray that everybody is with God. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any thoughts for what Joan was sharing. But
Joan, I don't know if you feel comfortable giving us the child's first name. We keep a prayer book, and if you don't, that's okay, because God knows who this child is. But I will tell you, I live in the great state of Arizona, and every time we hear of any type of pool accidents where there's a drowning, it is so devastating to everybody that lives in Arizona. Because so many of us have pools, right? Because to live in a hot climate. And it breaks our hearts. So my heart goes out to your family, and I'm just so sorry. Do you feel comfortable giving us the child's first name?
I thought about it, but yes, I will. It's Elsie.
Elsie, okay. We are praying, and I have a dear friend, Keith, next to me from Arizona, and we're praying right now for this family. This is just so sad. But Jerry, you're spot on. I did a death and dying project many years ago at my parish, and one of the things that we were taught is that, you know, our life, we're not guaranteed 100 years, you know, to live. So if we live a day, if we live two years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, so be it. Then the Lord calls us home. But however we are destined to live that amount, we should really celebrate the life we have lived, the chance that we have been born to live this life on this side of the veil, because that is an opportunity for us to be for all of eternity in the beatific vision. And that's what I pray for your little, I think you said grandniece, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. You know, I mean, you got an intercessor in heaven, so that is amazing.
Okay, Joan, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you. Debbie is live on location at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference in Virginia. I am in my quarters, my room at the seminary, Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, on the day after this horrible tragedy in Minneapolis. Our topic, we scheduled this weeks ago. The topic was tell us why you love life and being alive and how you live life to the fullest. So we're tying that in as well today. But if you have any thoughts on, you know, what has happened, what has transpired, please feel free to let us know at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
We'd love for you to join the conversation, and I just wanted to remind everyone that I think I'm on video, so hi everyone, and I'm smiling because I am in a conference room with so many of the Catholic radio affiliates that are here for the EWTN radio conference, and they care so much about their listeners. They are working so hard to improve their stations and to make more activities to bring the communities together by way of radio apostolates. It's so beautiful. So, guys, we have a lot to celebrate that we can come together virtually like this, especially with Take Two each and every weekday. Thank God EWTN is going strong. So we're so happy we have this opportunity together. So let's use this beautiful time wisely. Amy's up next from Minnesota on Real Presence Radio. Amy, welcome.
Hi. I'm calling from Minnesota, and I do have something that makes me love life, and then I just have a couple comments on the tragedy that
sure.
happened yesterday. First thing, since it's your topic and much lighter and more beautiful, is sunrises. I just in the last couple of years have started taking photos of the sunrises out here. I live in northern Minnesota right now, but I did live down in Minneapolis area, suburban Minneapolis, for about 20, 25 years. And anyway, the sunrises on the prairie here are amazing. And it is one of those things that just makes you love life to watch a sunrise, no matter how many times you see it, is extraordinary. And it's just a gift from God every single morning, whether it's a hazy day, a beautiful, bright, cloudless day, anything in between, too.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
And
by the way, Amy, we're coming up to a break in about a minute, so we may have to hold you over through the break if you're able to do that. But go ahead and begin your thoughts.
Yeah, and I can. I was in my car, but now I'm home.
Okay.
And I've got my son in the house, which is another I've called in before. I have a child with special needs, high school student, and he's a gift from God as well, but definitely couldn't get him in and talk on the phone at the same time.
Sure. Well, I tell you what, Amy, we're less than a minute to go, so we will ask you just to pause for a moment. And Judy in Stony Brook, New York, Nancy in Houston, and we have a line open, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Tell us why you love life, how you live life to the fullest, keep yourself in a very beautiful state of friendship and grace with God. And we're also reacting with your thoughts on the Minneapolis situation that happened yesterday as well. So stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls in a moment.
We're so glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And we're speaking with Amy from Minnesota, and she's just finishing up her her reflection on sunrises, which is so true on how to appreciate life. Each and every day we open our eyes and see that beautiful sunrise. So, Amy, anything else you wanted to share with us? Amy, go right ahead.
Go right ahead, Amy.
Yeah, so the sunrises are amazing, and I've now got hundreds of pictures of them, and two, sometimes I have to stop myself and from taking a picture and just take it in and enjoy it, because it is, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Minneapolis tragedy has really affected me, as I live down in Minneapolis area. We're about 5 hours. We're almost in Canada right now, but we're still Minnesota. And yeah, it just has me heartbroken, and yet I think there's some hope on the horizon. I worked in the public schools, not in Minneapolis public schools, but in a suburban public schools for 22 years, I think. And there's just a lot of problems with what's being taught in public schools in relation to accepting everything as okay, or people's truth is their truth versus the one truth, which is God. Mm-hmm. And I could go on and on a soapbox, but that's the gist of it. So I think Mother Teresa had a quote that it goes something like, why are you surprised when kids kill kids when you have a nation that protects a mother's right to kill her own child? Mm-hmm. That teaches them violence solves problems instead of love. Mm-hmm. God is love, and none of these things are in his plan. Obviously, it's people going against love and against God. Mm-hmm. And as much as I'm sickened by it, I do see a surge in people that are coming to the faith, to our beautiful Catholic faith, and I guess those are my thoughts on the Minneapolis.
No, those are actually really good and deep thoughts you have, Amy. And the one thing, you know, thank you for your service in the school system, education. And I just hope and pray along with you, and I know Jerry shares this as well, that they do have the budget to help people with mental illness or some kind of disorder that they're struggling with or something that they are dealing with. So I know when my kids went to public school, there was limited resources for them to get help, even when I went through a divorce. I mean, it was really bizarre to me. And so I was wondering, you know, is this what our taxes are being used for? I mean, can't we get more help there in that area for mental health? So, Amy, thank you so much for caring like you do and appreciating God's creation. But what do you say to that, Jerry? You don't have any kids, but I'll tell you, when you have kids, you realize that there's not a lot of resources out there, really. People are stretched thin.
Yeah, and it's wonderful people like you, Amy, and I actually drove by a public school yesterday, and a number of the teachers, this was, you know, they were out in front of the school gathered around. I don't know if they were just discussing maybe what happened or praying a little bit or something, but Debbie, you and I were so, you know, appreciative of the teachers that we have,
yes,
not just in Catholic schools, but in public schools.
Public
so many
school.
Of our mm-hmm. men and women are out there trying to do the best they can and make a difference. And you're right, it does boil down to resources often. And I think there are mixed messages, though, because there are a lot of young kids who are struggling with anxiety and depression and identity issues and things like this. We do want to get them the help, but then we also lay right in their lap this message that it's okay to say you're a different gender or something.
Exactly.
Like that, you know, so the confusion that this is probably causing in the minds of our young kids is that's what concerns me a lot. So I don't know, Amy, if you have another quick thought or anything before we move on.
Yeah, I do have a quick thought. There is absolutely a lack of resources. I was I taught in special ed, and I won't use any names, of course, but I had a first grader that had some severe articulation issues. And then I had his older brother, who was like a second grader, I think, at the time. And the school put out a request that we call the older brother the feminine name because he wanted to identify as a female. And that was my last year there. So I know that that was not on everybody's agenda, but it was just so, like you said, confusing. And then this little younger brother had so much confusion about it, who already had some concerns. So I feel like even though there's a lack of resources, some of the money for resources is being spent in a misguided way, because that was fully embraced, that the second grade boy would be called the girl's name and could have the girl's pronouns and dressed in dresses and came to school in second grade.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done in this area, Amy. We really do need to definitely spend a lot of time in prayer. We need help from heaven above. So, Amy, thank you again for all of your fine work that you've done with our youth, and we appreciate it. All these calls, they're contributing to something that we can at least do something, either in our own community, with prayer, or with support, or volunteering, something. So thank you, Amy. Wow, Jerry, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Judy, hold on. We're going to go to you right after Monica. Monica is in San Antonio listening on Guadalupe Radio Network today. Hello, Monica. Welcome to our important discussion here. Welcome.
Well, hello. Thank you. I just wanted to let you know I was a public school elementary principal when Uvalde occurred here in Texas. And it hits everyone hard, but especially I feel those that are in charge of those beautiful young souls that we're responsible for. It hit me so hard. I needed a break. I needed to heal and build community within our school. I even held a secular parent retreat because it was a public school, bringing community together. Soon after, I retired, and as your topic is today, living life to the fullest. I've traveled, going deeper into my faith. I've studied my faith. I've gone into the Women of Grace foundational study, and that's helped me align myself, body, heart, spirit, soul, mind. But I know right now we're all hurting because of those beautiful children in the whole community. We're praying for them, and that is an action to pray. And you never know when an opportunity later will come about. And for me, an opportunity presented itself to help Uvalde just recently. They are going to be transitioning students from the temporary campuses to the new campus that's going to be opening up in October. And they needed some volunteers to come and assist with substituting in classes and such. And I felt like it was such a privilege to go and work and help them, because this is something that I can do. And so for those of us that are feeling just helpless right now, prayers are powerful. But also, you never know when later something's going to present itself, and you can just do those physical works of mercy.
Well, I know Jerry wants to comment, but Monica, I just want to say thank you so much for being such a caring principal and all you've been through, and you continue to want to serve the children and the families. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. It's not just an occupation, it's a ministry. You can tell it's coming from your soul, it's coming from your heart. So thank you. But I agree with you. The reason why we go to prayer is we need more grace in this situation. If we don't get more grace, we're not going to get the resources to fix this problem. We need the grace, and we get that through dedication and prayer. Jerry, what are your comments?
Well, Monica, you've pointed to a segment of the population here that sometimes we don't think about at a time like this, and that is, you know, the teachers, the principals, the people who volunteer at the schools. Obviously, the children we think about, the teachers who were, you know, victimized, parents, obviously our hearts go out to them. But you're right. I mean, you, Monica, as a school principal and the teachers, you probably, I'm sure you look at these children like they're your own, and you approach your jobs in that particular manner. And you mentioned how, you know, those who have the charge over these young lives must feel at a time like this. I was reflecting on this yesterday, as I am, God willing, a little less than 3 years away from being ordained to the priesthood. I tried to put myself in the position of the pastor of that parish, and I just thought that he must absolutely be devastated right now. Yeah. We need to pray for him right now, for all the parishioners, everybody right now. But Monica, go ahead. We've talked quite a bit here after you shared your thoughts. What else might you want to share? Anything?
You know, wherever you are, in public school, private school, my background is I was in Catholic school, pre-K all the way to college, and landed in public school as a servant. So you never know where you're going to be called, but you bring that perspective wherever you are. And the amount of pressure on administrators and teachers is tremendous, especially in these times with the shootings and just with everything in politics in general. But the number one thing is we want our kids safe. And that is always on whatever we are doing, because there's so much work to do. But that is the number one thing on our minds. We want to make sure the kids are safe.
Right.
And this is the most devastating thing to ever happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. But Monica, you know what? Your dedication is going to go a long way today, because people are listening. They're listening. They're tuning into Catholic Radio, trying to get some hope, some inspiration. They needed to hear from Monica today. So thank you for stepping up. We appreciate it.
Oh, God bless you.
God bless you, Monica. Thanks again for your great service in the school systems.
Yes.
Okay, we've been, Judy's been holding patiently in Stony Brook, New York, so we will go to you next. Hi, Judy, listening on the EWTN app. Welcome.
Hi, and thank you.
Sure.
I was saying earlier that I was in the parking lot recently, and in that parking lot, I wasn't sure if it was a young man. I kind of thought it was a girl. I don't know at this point. But the person was kind of a small build and pink hair, a very sweet face, and then, you know, oversized clothing, and short, I guess, to the knee, pants. And then really, and I'm not saying this for any particular reason, except that it was kind of stunned me, very hairy legs, almost as if the hair on his legs was combed.
Mm.
And that was like I'm sure you're listening to me and you're saying, what? Well, that's what was going through my mind, and I just kind of looked to get into my car, and I remember just thinking how tragic, how very sad that this young person, they don't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I prayed for this young person on the way home, and I think that's what we need to be. That's what my day starts always with, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I have my place, my little altar. That's where I pray every single morning. And that's where I intercede for people. That's where I have my prayer list of all those that have asked for my prayers, those of my family, my friends, the government, the Holy Father, our priests, just so many things. And because I cannot remember all of that, I have it in a little book. You know, I wrote down everything. And sometimes I just hold my hand over the book and I say, Lord, you know what's in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So please.
Yeah.
Hear my prayer.
Judy, that is a beautiful practice. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. God is going to hear your prayers. You've got a beautiful heart.
Absolutely.
And I just want to zero in on one thing that you said, and that is you said, you know, a lot of our young people don't know their identity. I think we have a lot of adults who don't either today, but I think we can put it very simply and succinctly. You know, we only know our identity in relation to our Creator.
Amen.
Because He is the one who gave us our identity. And when we take God out, guess who's coming to dinner? Okay, it's not a complicated thing. We have told God we don't want anything to do with Him, so Satan can have a field day in those particular circumstances. So until we really, you know, turn our nation back to God, the world back to God, and this happens one soul at a time.
Amen.
It's got to start with me. St. Francis said, you know, let there be peace, let it begin with me.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live, Debbie, we have to live our lives in a
so
proper
true.
Way and really try to bring God back into our culture and our society.
This is not a complicated solution. It's a complicated issue, but the solution is simple. Okay? God. G-O-D. If we bring God back into the center of all our lives, we will have a better world. It's that simple. But everybody's rejecting God. Jerry, you're spot on. And they're putting God on a shelf. And then who comes in? It's not just Satan, Jerry. It's many demons. If you talk to Adam Bly, religious demonologist, it's not just one demon. It's many demons. And they set up camp. And there you go. You've got confusion. You've got all sorts of despair, desperation. And then there you go. People don't care about life anymore. Judy, you care. You pray. And that's so important. And we appreciate your call today. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation. Jerry, I know you've got an announcement for us, and then Debbie's waiting from Massachusetts.
I just want to mention the Bear Wozniak Adventure. It's another show here on EWTN. Saturday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Bear Wozniak, folks, he is one of a kind. He's unique. He's a great man of God, and he challenges other men to deeper conversion and to servant leadership. So tune in, men especially, but ladies, listen to it and point the men in your life to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio.
Okay, we'll go to Debbie, and Debbie's in Marlboro, Massachusetts, listening on our friends on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Debbie. Debbie and Jerry. Totally, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I so enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Appropriate online for me to wait because my concern is, first of all, I'm distraught, as everyone else is. But anyway, I was listening to Fox News last night, mm-hmm. and I hadn't heard the speech, but I heard the mayor. They said that he said we don't need prayer, which is appalling to me that we have a political leader who could say that. It's just upsetting to me. And there is a lot of work to be done in our world because it's broken. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that.
Debbie, real quick. Debbie, why did he say we don't need prayer? Did he say we need people to support or people to jump in? Was there a follow-up to that?
I did not hear the whole his whole thing. It was just what I heard on Fox
okay.
News.
Yeah.
I cannot say I watched it personally.
Right.
But this is just coming from Fox News.
Right.
Sometimes
they will say we don't need prayer, we need action. That's what they say a lot of times. But you know what? That's just silly. I mean, that's nonsense. Of course we need prayer. So, I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Debbie.
Yes, and my grandchildren do go to Catholic school, and I'm thankful that we can send them there. And this morning when I dropped them off, because there was a police officer there, so I guess that was reassuring to me. But I said, I'm going to take up a perch and sit outside that church,
right.
as a grandmother. But anyway, to have a political leader to say we don't need prayer is, to me, is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to share that thought.
Well, a comment just came in that they think that they were saying that it's prayer is just not enough. They need action. So I was kind of on what I was thinking they were trying to convey. But I will tell you that a lot of times when you have a tragedy like this, of course everybody goes to prayer. All faith belief systems, they go to prayer. Why? Because you feel helpless. So you're going to go to the Creator. Okay? But you do need action, and we do need to prepare, and I do think parishes should definitely put in some kind of volunteer security service, because it's just, I mean, some of these parishes are wide open, and this is dangerous. So, yeah, there's so many aspects that we can jump into action, Debbie, but you are a precious soul. Thank you so much. Jerry, any final comments there?
Well, no, we don't know the veracity of that comment, whether you made that or not, but I, like you said, our producer did type a note over, said that he thinks he was saying that prayer is not enough. But Debbie, we thank you for the call anyway. That's if he indeed did say we don't need prayer, that would be kind of a shocking statement from any public leader at a time like this. So Debbie, thank you so much. We got to get time enough for Nancy in Houston, Texas, who's listening today on the EWTN app. Hi, Nancy. You'll be our last caller today. Welcome. We're so glad you dialed in.
Oh, hey, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to get right to it. First of all, you know, my whole life is about my church. And actually, I'm getting ready to run to Mass right now. And I don't know. Between EWTN and the Guadalupe Network, it's changed my life. So I'll just leave it at that for where all my church is in. But I'm really so angry about what happened with this shooter. You know, anger really comes from fear, and what's happening and what's not happening is Big Pharma and the medical industry are pushing all this transgender stuff because they are making a kill in Texas. At Texas Children's Hospital, they were doing these surgeries, and they were not allowed to do it. And a couple of us came forward and reported them. But it's all about money. It's all about greed. And our illustrious leaders are not doing anything about it. And it's hurting the individual. And they're shoving it down their throat that, oh, you know, all your problems are, you know, you're supposed to be Susie instead of Steve. And we need change. You know, I was reading something this morning. I listened to the Hallow, and it was Fulton Sheen, and he was talking about greed. Oh, Lord, where is it? Anyway, I don't know if I can find it now. I got hung up from y'all, and then I had to start all over. But anyway, you know, greed is definitely one of the deadly sins, and, you know, this needs to stop. You know, as I said to the person that answered the phone, you can't turn a watermelon into a coffee table. You can't. It will not happen. And it's hurting so many people. And our leaders need to stop this.
Well, Nancy, I think, you know, you're pointing out something important here, not just with this situation and the different circumstances and scenarios you're talking about, but the phrase follow the money. I mean, you always have to, you know, follow the money. Who is getting, you know, rich off of things and why? And again, it's not just this particular situation. I mean, 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we've got, Debbie, a lot of evils that people are banking a lot of cash on these days. So...
Nancy, thank you so much for finishing this episode today of Take Two. We've got a lot of work that we've got to do in this world, and we can do it, like you said, Jerry, one person at a time, with ourselves first, and we go out there and we try our hardest to impact others, and that's what we can do. But we have to bring God back into the conversation. If we keep God on a shelf, we're going to have more of these tragedies. We just are. It's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. Yeah, thank you, Take Two family. You again have made this a very impactful broadcast. As we mentioned a couple times during the program, our topic was, you know, why do you love life? What do you love about living life? And we put these topics on a show calendar weeks in advance. And Debbie, I don't know how many times this has happened when something has taken place in the world or in our country, and our show topic was, you know, specifically almost identical to that. But the Holy Spirit does that a lot on this show, and
absolutely,
the Take Two family just do a fantastic job like they did today.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are awesome. You're a loving, caring family. You care about this world. You care about your faith. You care about getting to heaven. So get in a state of grace. Stay in a state of grace. That's how you really make the most out of life. Right, Jer?
Yeah, today is the feast of the great St. Augustine. Yesterday, feast of his mother, Monica. So we pray to St. Augustine and St. Monica today for all of our, if they will intercede for all of our needs and intentions. Tomorrow is going to be a pre-recorded broadcast. It's part three with author Gary Zimak of When Life Gets Hard. Well, life has just gotten hard for a lot of people. So it's a show you're not going to want to miss tomorrow. That is, again, part three of When Life Gets Hard with Gary Zimak. Want to thank our show team, as always, Matt Benski on the phones, Michael McCall on the board running the show, and Rich Jesse on social media. For Debbie Giorgiani and everybody at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference in Virginia, I am Jerry Usher, wishing you a beautiful and blessed day. Let us all be in prayer for the tragic things that have happened recently, and we'll talk again soon. God bless.